Cough Al Jarrah Arash. You're listening to CRY 104 FM. This is Declan. I'm with you until 6 o'clock. I'm delighted now to be joined in studio by Pat Bozang, who is CEO of Passive Sills. Passive Sills manufacture sills out in Foxhole. You're most welcome, Pat.
Hi there.
I always wonder, how did you get set up in this sort of business?
So, yes, it's a long story, I suppose, really.
We have till 6 o'clock. So
we have till 6 o'clock. So for many years, architects and engineers were trying to figure out how they could get sufficient insulation around the windowsill. Because in Ireland, we traditionally use stone or concrete windowsills. And as we were building A-rated homes, you know, or heading towards building A-rated homes, there was a problem of cold bridging occurring. Right, because the concrete windowsills bridged from the outside to the inside. So for years, they were trying to figure out how could you get enough insulation around it. And they couldn't pack it in, you know, unless you were going with NASA-type insulations or whatever. And I was thinking about this and I said, why don't you simply make the windowsill from insulation? So I started doing my research into it and I discovered with ultra-high density polystyrene actually has very good compressive strength. And I started from there. It was back in probably 2011 or 2012 and there wasn't an awful lot happening. And I bought a toaster in Argos one day and brought it home. My wife said, what are you doing with the toaster? We have a toaster. I said, I have an idea. So I took this toaster asunder because what we use to cut polystyrene is a nichrome wire.
Yes. Right?
So that's the wire that's inside in your toaster. But I couldn't find it anywhere at the time. So the only place that I could find nichrome wire was in a toaster. So I bought a toaster in Argos for, I don't know, it was a 10 euros or something like that. I took it asunder and I cut my first prototype piece of polystyrene with the wire that I took out of the toaster. So I went on from there. That was an initial idea. I went to my local enterprise board in Middleton and they suggested doing up a business plan, which I started to do. They also mentioned the New Frontiers program in
CIT.
In CIT. And we were lucky enough to, we'd done our business plan. We started making some prototypes. We were buying in cut materials and making up prototypes, and we got one or two small jobs. So we got onto the New Frontiers program, which was a great incubator stage. So basically, we had 6 months of training in, you know, doing one or two days a week in the MTU as it is now. And they gave us offices in there, and they gave me 600 quid a week, which back in 2014 was to get started. And that started us. There was 10 businesses on the New Frontiers program with me at the time, and I'm not sure how many of them exist in the same form. No, a lot of the founders would be doing something slightly similar or, you know, different, but in a different way. But we're probably one of the only companies that, you know, went in and said, I want to make windowsills from polystyrene, and now we have a factory here in Yall.
You've got to go from that program, and now you've got to sort of sell the idea to somebody to support you to get a factory in Yall and to start manufacturing. And then you've got to go find buyers.
Yes. So I had a very good friend of mine that I met on the New Frontiers program, Anthony McCarthy, and he was actually one of the... He was like me with a startup business, but Tony, as we know him, was for years in business himself. And he was very much internet-based marketing. And, you know, traditionally windowsills would be sold in builders' providers.
Yes.
And lots of people were saying, oh, you'd have to get into the builders' providers. It was your only route to market. And we would have went wallop because you'd have to have all your certifications and have everything in place before you could actually get anything into the builders' providers. So we started more direct marketing, direct selling. Done deal was an absolutely incredible thing for us to start with. And just insulated windowsills or passive windowsills. So people who were building, you know, low energy homes and that were into the low energy, they liked the concept of what we were doing. They were more interested in what the product was rather than the certifications that it had with us. And that allowed us to get started. So we started in my brother's lean-to cow shed in Shanigarry. And I remember I brought Joe Burke from the local enterprise board in to see the little setup back then. And Joe obviously saw, like if you saw, it was a lean-to shed with one half of the roof was open. It was kind of an open shed. And that's where we started from our first real production. And Joe saw some potential in what we were doing, because I was even after getting some export sales at that stage. Well, export sales, theoretically, selling to Northern Ireland is an export.
Yeah.
So we had made export sales.
We won't go there now.
Yeah. So part of my business plan, and in the very early days, a good friend of mine, Gerard Murphy, he's an accountant based in Middleton, and I asked Gerard, would he help me with my business plan? He said he would. And Gerard came in as an investor in the early days, and right up until last year, where Gerard exited the business last year. But without Gerard Murphy, we really would not have got off the ground. You know, I had it, Gerard and myself, we were 50-50 partners in it to get going. Gerard would have several other business interests as well, and I think having a small manufacturing business was a little hobby thing for Gerard. So yeah, it worked out. He didn't have an awful lot of hands-on input in it. You know, he was always there as a mentor and a guide, and you know, when we'd squeezes in cash, he was always there. So he was a really good input as well. But outside of that, we never had to raise any equity. We didn't lose any equity. It was just myself and Gerard the whole way through. So, and then last year I bought back the controlling share of the business.
And then moving from Shanagarry to y'all,
we got into a 2,500 square foot unit in Middleton, in the Onacora Business Park in Middleton. And then we moved into the adjoining unit, which was another 2,500 square foot. And in 2019, we moved to Yall. As we were growing, we moved to Yall in January 2019 to a 20,000 square foot facility, which was the old Kodak building, which had been idle for over 20 years before we moved into it. So early January 2019, we moved in there. And we've been there since. So now we've grown from there. Last week we started a contract for mouldings for a social housing scheme in Bonaire in the Caribbean. So we're being manufactured in Yall and being shipped to the Caribbean. So some of our decorative mouldings. So how that came about was Bonaire is a colony, a Dutch colony. And it was a company in Holland. They're making modular homes in Holland, and then to give them the Caribbean look, so we're making the Caribbean style mouldings to go over the doors and over the windows. So that's all we're contributing to it. It's purely decorative mouldings.
So as well as the sales, you're doing the
mouldings. We do decorative mouldings as well. Yeah. So some of our more famous jobs in decorative mouldings. So if you look at the new set to Fair City, every single windowsill and moulding and stone wall and build, you know, the doctor surgery, the car showrooms, every single building has our windowsills and mouldings on it.
I haven't watched it for a few years, but I like
nobody admits to watching Fair City is what I've noticed. We've also done the interior cafe on Sin, which is a big super pub in Dublin, very trendy place. And one of our first big breaks when it came to mouldings was, I think, back in 2016 or 2017, we got the contract for the extension to the K Club. So we copied all the mouldings in the original building of the K Club and reproduced them for the new extension that was done on the K Club.
And they're sort of huge design, once-off sort of things,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes, so
that's a lot of...
But there was quite a lot of it there. So we can produce decorative shape is no problem. It's straight-line production. It's an extrusion process that we've developed outside here.
How many employees have you?
We've currently got about 14 employees. Majority of them now would be from Yall. As I said to you earlier there, we've one or two from over the bridge as well. But
yeah, but that's allowed. It's okay. We allow that.
And
we're very tolerant.
We still have a couple that came down from Middleton as well. So I think it's about 14
people. We have a few people from over the border involved with this radio station as well. They're the quietest ones.
The quietest ones, yeah. Very good.
So it's going from strength to strength.
It's
really
going from strength to strength, yes.
Did you envisage this originally? Was this your plan, or is it just, I know life takes different sort of ways.
Yes, I could see that I knew how building regulations were going, everything going towards energy efficient building. Traditional methods didn't work, and I could see, you know, I was this madman with, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to, this is how it's going to work out. I would have thought it would have happened a bit quicker. So we're coming up to our 10 years since we incorporated. And looking like we're going to become, you know, after 10 years, we're going to become an overnight success.
I know a madman who come up with ideas, one or two ideas, because you have the extrusion and you have the sills. There's obviously something else going on in the brain, is there?
Yeah, so I'm quite severely dyslexic, and I left school at 16, and school was one of these places that didn't work for me. I was an A student in maths, science, and anything to do with my hands, and I failed English, Irish, anything to do with languages,
yeah,
I failed.
All to do with how your brain is wired,
and
isn't it?
That's exactly how my brain is wired, and it took, like any kids that are listening, that might be listening today, and it took me so long to figure out that, you know, I am actually kind of gifted in certain ways, right?
Yeah.
A tick stupid in other ways, but I'm always trying to encourage, you know, people, you know, we have some lads there, you know, people, you might give them a second chance or a third chance. Yeah. I'm always trying to get the best out of people because of my own experience, you know, when I left school, you know, driving a tractor was probably as much as that anybody was expecting for me, do you know what I mean? But I have a very curious mind.
That's what I was going to say, with that sort of...
mathematical and you know, a lot of what we do, it would be based around passive house thinking, you know, passive, right, which is basically, for those who are not aware, a passive house is a house that doesn't really require active heating systems. So just the heat from the light, heat from, you know, from the lights in your house, the heat from the cooker, the heat from people, the heat, you know, from the toaster, the television. That's what is all that's required to keep the house warm. No active heating required. So this is around with over 30 years. It was developed by a German physicist, Wolfgang Feist. And this is the way, basically, all our regs are moving towards what they developed 30 years ago. So our A-rated homes are now, they're not called passive house because that is a registered mark or something like that. But that's the way that it's generally going to. And it is very much physics-based, and, you know, I kind of look at things as much as I can with much of a scientific eye as you can.
I was just going to say, with that in mind, like, you have a very active brain, you have a very good brain working away there. What's the next plan?
Next plan. Yeah, so I've lots of different ideas. During COVID there, we made some seating pods for schools and the likes of that, which were structures that were cut out of, you know, a seat with a cover on it that was cut out of polystyrene core, and it was coated with a hard shell polyurea coating. It was okay during COVID. We sold to a couple of schools and the likes of that. It's a different type of business, but that has triggered a couple of other projects now that we're looking at, possible pontoons, even our own business that we're doing. There's such a huge market. We're just starting with, in January, we have a new schema house starting in Scotland. So, like, we have the UK, we have our first customer in Holland now. So, you know, recurring customers now. Yeah. So, like, there is huge potential there. There's lots of potential things that we can make. As the market changes, we can change as well, because we're still small and we're an agile company. You know, so if we get a big hit, like, for example, one of our products that we were doing for the retrofit market, we were doing an oversill for the retrofit market, but the NSAI, with a stroke of a pen, made a change to the criteria, which meant that our oversill was no longer
comply.
We'll have everything. It was there, you know, there was nothing wrong with our product, but it was just, they said, no, you can't use this type of product, we have to have this, that, the other. So overnight, we lost over €400,000 worth of business.
Gotcha.
And if we weren't agile, that would have shut us down. And we were able to swap around, start concentrating, you know, move to other, we started doing more pushing and mouldings and different markets. And, you know, we're actually, even though we lost the €400,000 worth of business in the last 18 months, our turnover has gone up. So we've managed to grow and to get to more successful products and that.
But Pat, you're an ideas man. You're a man who likes making things, yes, and doing things, right? Do you find running a company tough then? It's a different skill set, isn't it?
It is. And I have a mentor, a manufacturing mentor, a chap by the name of John Gehan. He's a Tipperary man. And one of the first things that John said to me is, he said, you have to work the 3D principle. And I said, what's that, John? And he said, it's decide, delegate, and disappear. And I kind of went, that seems like cheating. And but you know, you have to give people space. And where I'm getting to know is building a team around me that I can, like, at the moment I'm working on another project. We won't speak about it at the moment, but I'm in the office for about an hour or two most mornings. I'm in quite a lot tomorrow now, but I just come in for about 2 hours, get my work done, and then I'm off doing other work at just a project that we're working on at the moment. So I don't have to be in the office. So as we grow, like when we started off, every windowsill my hand touched.
Yeah.
You know, every time that we had to cut something, I had to be there to be cutting it. I had to be there for every single process. And now there's orders go from start to finish that I don't even know about. And that's what it's about, is building people and building teams. We're trying to implement lean manufacturing, and we're doing a thing called 2-second lean, and it's about self-improvement throughout the whole factory. And it's really good for morale, it's really good for improvement, and you know, if you're not improving in business, you're going out of business. You know, if you're not innovating and improving, and that would be my philosophy. And that's where, you know, I just want to get to manufacturing excellence. And if we get to manufacturing excellence, you keep improving, but you'll never go out of business if you're in that. You know, we're not there yet, and we're a million miles from it. And it's a you know, a bold statement to say we want to get to manufacturing excellence, but that's what my goal is. You know, create products that the customers want, and to the you know, as best a product as we can possibly turn out.
Pat Bozang, CEO of Passive Sills. I found this fascinating. Thanks a million for coming in.
No bother. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.